And I just want to share a thought with you before we close and want to make sure that God ministers His Word to whomever came to hear His Word. Do you believe that tonight? I'm so glad to see all of you here, and it's such a blessing to know that no matter what we face, that God is still God for us. Hallelujah. Book of Luke, chapter 19. As we read this scripture earlier, if you have a bookmark, I'm not going to have us read all of it tonight, but mark verses 1 through 10 if you want to take it home with you and read it. But just anyway, get your little, I don't know what you call that, the string on your Bible, and mark it and take it home with you. Because this is going to be two part. You hear the word, then go and put it into your heart by eating it yourself. Okay? When I read this scripture, God began to deal with me and put a thought in my heart. And it really touched me, because sometimes we just need to know that God sees us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that in this passage and in this mystery that it wasn't just about acknowledging somebody, but Jesus was beginning to open up and His love in a greater way. And we're going to have a little experiment tonight. And as we stand, just briefly, I won't keep you here forever. I just want you to know that in this time when Jesus was going through into Jericho, that there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was known as a tax collector. Many of them thought of him as a traitor because of what he did for a living. And in that time, they were in great manufacturing. I believe it's called balsam. So there was a big economy going around in Jericho. So anybody that came around to take your money, you weren't a big fan of them. Not everybody's putting H&R Block in their top five. So as we stand around and Jesus is passing through that time, I'm glad my dad's standing there going around. Everybody put all your eyes on my dad in the corner. There was a man that climbed up in the tree as the crowd began to pass by. He was short in stature. We know this is Zacchaeus. But there was somebody there that Jesus knew was there, even though nobody came and pecked Jesus on the shoulder and said, "Jesus, do you see that man in the tree? You may be seated." I just wanted you to get that there was a crowd in that scenario, in that surrounding, and there was somebody that was up high looking. And Jesus went by and he turned around, and I can imagine that it may have looked silly for somebody to be up in a fig tree, but nonetheless, he was up there. Not everybody was a big fan of Zacchaeus, so maybe if he went by and said, "Excuse me, can you make room?" they may have got a little bit tighter so they couldn't get there. Have you ever cut somebody off at the grocery store so they wouldn't get in front of you to check out? Have you ever seen it? Don't act like it. You've never done it before. When we have something like somebody, or what about when they steal your parking spot? You're just about to get it. You put on the signal, and all of a sudden, somebody swoops in and gets it. Don't you hate that? It makes us, the next time in our heart, want to cut somebody else off so we can get it first. So there was a group of people not liking Zacchaeus, crowded all around him as he was up in a tree. Jesus came by and spoke his name directly. This is the first part of the mystery. He began to acknowledge who he was. Praise the Lord. He called him by name. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you don't recognize anything else for the rest of the night, know this alone, that he knew his name without ever having to hear somebody say that his name was Zacchaeus. I'm glad and can praise God tonight to know that when he found me, he already knew me. He already knew what I had done. And when he called me, he told me to come. Hallelujah. And that's what he spoke to Zacchaeus in the time. So I can imagine how shocked that he must have felt when he was called out for being up high. Somebody of short stature, I can imagine that walk of shame was probably knowing that he was a little embarrassed. But he was called to come down because Jesus wanted to pay a visit to his house. Praise God. I'm glad to know that he not only called us by name, but he knocked on our heart's door, that one day that he would take his abode into my heart. It would have been, a terrible thing to happen if he would have just called me and not come in. Hallelujah. Many of us spend a lot of time hearing Jesus call our name, but when it comes time to inviting him in, we'll close the door and we'll leave people out because we don't want to be embarrassed or exposed in the middle of a crowd. But I don't know about you, but I put my pants on the same way you do, and I fail the same ways that you do, and we better not be embarrassed and to be able to return to repentance when he calls our name. For without inviting Christ into our life, We do not have his abode in our spirit. I'm glad that he called me. That's what I wanted to encourage you with. I'm glad he called me. He could have let me be another one in the crowd, but he called me. Jared, come away. Come down from your trouble. Come out from this sin. Come out from the trouble. He didn't need Zacchaeus to come down from the tree to touch him. The revelation in this mystery is simply that he wanted him to come away from those things that was highly exalting him. In his conversation with Jesus, he began to justify his, as we'll say, not so good works. Tax collectors tended to shovel a little bit in their corner to cover themselves, especially in a time at Jericho where if you didn't have it, you died. But as Jesus came into his heart and ministered to him, he changed his life and began to do good unto the people he was around. Have you ever had somebody that has wronged you? Have you ever had somebody that's let you down? Have you ever had somebody that's hurt you, spoke ill against you, took from you, used you, despitefully used you, made you mad, aggravated you? Have you ever had somebody that was that way? Yet in spite of everything, there's still hope for those that have done wrong. There's still hope for anybody that has done wrong. There's hope for all of us to know that if we will just listen for the voice of God, that it will lead us into an abode that will help us to do right. I can't always tell you with 100% assurance that day by day that I do everything God wants me to the right way. But I can tell you every time that he spoke to me that there wasn't anything that could get in the way of the good deed that God had in store. Hallelujah. I get to a point now where if God gives me the word and I hear him speak, if I hold that back in me, great is the suffering that I will feel. If I feel a praise rising up from my lips and I try to hold back my part because I don't want to get in the way of the crowd, I'll miss the abode of Jesus. I know when he speaks to me, I know his voice. Nobody can have me doubted. I know that I know. Each and every one of you knows when Jesus speaks to you, and you may be going through things that'll cause your judgment to slip and to lapse, but I'm glad to know that if we'll just come down, give up, and surrender all our troubles, there is nothing that will keep us from the abode of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Church service in, church service out. The songs may change, but one thing remains. When he speaks to you, it's time to come down. When he speaks to you, it's time to go away from the world. He instructed us to be separate from the world. Our flesh will never agree with preaching, nor will it agree with the anointing. Yet when we have the abode of Christ, through our love we're caused to encourage one another. We oftentimes will have a hard time getting along, get frustrated in going through things together, maybe say things that we shouldn't have said, maybe not obey God to the fullest of our ability. But I see those out there that are looking for Jesus to call them. They're desperate. Zacchaeus was short. He was desperate to get to where he could see Christ. And we've heard this preached a lot, but I'm going to spin it off a little bit different. I encourage you as a churchgoer and a Christian and one who possesses the love of God, don't be caught as one in the crowd that day. Don't be caught as the one that would keep somebody from being able to see Jesus. Don't hinder somebody else when you refuse to listen to how he would cause you to obey him. There's been some days that I've literally by not obeying the Lord. You could just visualize me coming in and just holding somebody from being able to get out of the pew and coming to pray. My flesh, my ideals, my things that aggravate me, I could literally hold somebody from being able to see Jesus. And I don't ever want to be one that's with the crowd. It's popular to say what you don't like about preaching. It's not popular to get up and amen the preacher when he's preaching something that cut us asunder. It's very popular to talk about how somebody may have been off key or they forgot the line in the verse, and if they just let somebody else get up there better, that we'd have great worship. Or you could go on and on with that. But as we continue on in this manner, we're literally holding somebody back from being able to have the abode of Christ. I want to be one that would get out of the way and let somebody else pass on through. There's 100 churches in this county alone that you could go to. Yet we all, as you can picture this, in our own way, will hold people from being able to know Christ. When Jesus is visiting your house, you're going to know it. When He is blessing you at church, you're going to feel it. When God is speaking to you through the Word, you're going to recognize it. When we hear His voice and hear that holy command, what shall we do? Shall we go on and not be afraid of all the hindrances? There's been some house services before that I've been in that if I would have just spoken up, if I would have just opened my mouth, I know that God would have surely blessed. There's been some singings where we got up there and sang 6 to 7 songs, but I felt that one last song, but sat back because I thought, well, we've already heard enough. And somebody was held back. There's been some times I was preaching and everybody's walking out. Got to get to Charlie's. Got to go on and do my own thing. And I thought to myself, God, I need to just quit. They're tired. But then I knew if I just pressed on in a little bit more, that somebody would get blessed. God is looking for somebody willing to suffer a little bit so that we're able to be a leader to usher in the abode of Christ. Well, Jared, if we had more young people in here, the young people would begin to be stirred by the anointing. Well, I'm here to tell you that every one of us is young when we're anointed. And if we would just begin to show unashamed enough to speak to younger people, they would begin to know Christ as we know Christ. Don't let the barrier of age hold you back from being able to express how great that God is. There's many things that you can share to a generation that doesn't even look up when they walk by you. If we don't begin to allow Christ to have abode in this church, there may be some people that need it and don't get it. I want to be as one that will lead them. How do you lead those? Must we take them by the hand and pull them along? No. Must you command them and tell them what is the right way? No. The way that you can lead somebody is to let them see where you're going and who's leading you. If I was upset, stubborn, aggravated, always talk negative, always down in people, always judging people, you're not going to call me for encouragement. In fact, you may tell other people, don't you call that guy unless you want to be brought down. Nobody's going to follow where I'm going if I'm always aggravated. I'm glad I don't preach like I'm aggravated. There's plenty of places that have done deserted because a preacher got upset with the way things were going and decided to beat everybody to death, and nobody's ever even able to come and enjoy the Word because there's no love in it. If you're going to preach, lead them with the abode of Christ. You don't have to prove that you're right about a thing. If they know and understand the love of God that's inside of you, they'll know exactly what it is that they need or are in lack of. Love came and put law in its place, because if you love somebody, you won't do the things that the law says that you should not do. And you'll lead people to a greater hope. You know, a lot of times we get upset and discouraged with ourselves because we don't open up our mouth and speak up about Jesus when we witness to people. And that alone will keep us from ever trying to make any effort to somebody because we never take the first step to do it the first time. But what I've found is there's been some relationships I've developed with people. I didn't have to forthright tell them what I was doing. I didn't have to talk to them about what my intentions were. All that I had to do was love them. All I had to do was be courteous. Show etiquette. I had a woman at my job the other day. When I said, "Yes, ma'am," she looked at me and said, "Wow, I've not heard that in a while." I open the door for people sometimes and they turn back around and look at me like something confusing just happened. Sometimes you'll call people and unless you need something from them, they don't have the time to even talk to you. But just by loving people, you're able to lead them. Jesus knows exactly what their needs are. There are many needs. Some are greater than others. Some could be easily done just by simply obeying God. But if we're not living in the abode of Christ each day, we'll live in ups and downs. Today we feel the Lord. It's wonderful. It's great. Tomorrow comes along. We read or see or hear something that bothers us. Down we start going. Lose the encouragement of the Lord. And that person that God sends to test to see where you will stand for them. We often fail. Because we get lost in the trouble. But I'm glad that Jesus still saw Zacchaeus. Even when the crowd did not like him. Even when they found him to be a traitor in their eyes. I'm glad that the love of God will reach to the highest height and the deepest depth. And there is nobody that he can't reach. There is no soul that God cannot save. There is no situation that God will not reach down in. There is no sickness that God will not heal. There is no darkness that the light cannot show the attacks and intents of the devil. I feel such a move of the Holy Ghost right now. And I know whoever is sitting here listening to this that needs this, God bless you, get a hold of this word right here. Even when you're in the highs and in the lows, or even being hid by the crowd, God still sees you. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. There's been many days that the devil has tried to cheat me out of feeling God's love. But I'm glad that even when I'm low and dirty and covered by the dust of the world, that all that Jesus has to say is, "Jared, get up, come out of there. You don't have to stay there. I come to have an abode with you." I'm glad that even when people don't get in the mood to have church, that the Spirit will come by and it'll speak to me and it'll let me know that, "Jared, I still see you. I still know your heart. I still know what it is that you face. I see the trouble, and there is no trouble that can be formed against you that'll prosper."
To know and recognize how much God loves you, you have to recognize where God is. Where is God? He's all around you. Where is God's love? It's in your heart. Where is his peace? It's all around your mind. Where is his healing? It's already all about you. The disciples walked in the streets of the poor. Didn't have a revival around them. Didn't have a great big lot of people saying, "Go on, brother. Mind the Lord, brother. Preach on, preacher." But they were walking in a love rarely reached by this world. walked up to lame and lepers, had such faith, but it was the love that reached out. We can believe it, but you've got to learn to love people. We've got to learn to not just be buttoned up against each other in the crowd, hindering others from feeling the presence of God. This word is for you to let you know that even when it's hard to do that, God still sees you, knows you by name. I've been working on my second book, and some verses that I wrote down is that even the hairs on our head are numbered. And He has all of your tears in a bottle. He knows every suffering, everything that we face. So one day I may be up in a tree feeling like I'm so far away from being able just to get where Jesus is. But no matter how far away that we'll go, how far away somebody may look according to us that we're praying for, you cannot go far enough that God still will not reach down and change their very life. I got to say that again for somebody that needs it. There is no distance that you can travel that God's love does not reach. There is no addiction that God's love will not deliver. There is no sickness. You can go to Knoxville in the hospital. You can go to Vanderbilt in the hospital, but God is still a healer. He's still a deliverer. Woo! Man, I feel the Lord. You can walk in such a boldness of the love of God. The word says no weapon formed against you would prosper. None. None. That's not talking about your body. Your body gets ill from time to time. It's not talking about your mind. Our mind will waver, get distracted, bored, or aggravated. It's talking about the essence of your spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil can try to attack you through your body and try to attack you in your mind. But the one thing he cannot take is the very thing that was instilled in your soul when you let Jesus take his humble abode. If he's living in there, the devil may speak and he may throw stones. No weapon formed against you will prosper. If you're bored with life, get in the presence of the Lord. If you're aggravated, get in the presence of the Lord. No weapon formed against you and your soul will ever prosper. No disease, though it may slay you, will ever stand in the way. Man, I feel God. No bad church service, nothing anybody could do, nothing anybody could say would ever get in the way of what God wants to do. I know one day he's going to bless me, and I'm coming out of this thing. This body will no longer hold me, and I'm going to a land. Just get a hold of it, church. I feel bad tonight, but I know that though the devil will try, he shall not win. Talk to him, church. Talk to him, church. Somebody that's had a backache in the past week, give me an amen. Somebody that's been attacked in their mind this week, give me an amen. Somebody that's been aggravated, give me an amen. There is nothing that you go through that the power of God will not overcome. He said, by the blood of the Lamb, by the abode of Christ, we are made overcomers. By the blood of the Lamb, if you are covered by the blood, therefore you have the abode of Christ. If you have the abode of Christ, you're made more. If the word would have just said you were made a conqueror, that would have been enough. Even Caesar, at their greatest attempt to shut down the ministry of Christianity, was not enough. Herod tried to kill all the firstborn in the land to try to shut down the will of God, but it wasn't enough. They beheaded John, went after all those that was baptizing in the river, tried to attack all those that were going through a hard time but serving God, but it wasn't enough. He sees where you are. He knows your situation. He knows everything that is ahead. God said he would have us to be the head, or to be looking high and above that which would be at your feet. I love you, church. I feel confirmed in my heart. When the down time shall come, remember what the devil can't touch. You may not be able to roll out of bed, but but you still know what God has protected you with. They may speak against you. The Word of God says, though they would speak ill of you and despitefully use you, what are we to do? To bless them. Bless those. It didn't say just don't say anything so you don't aggravate them, or just hold your peace so you don't make them mad. It said to bless them. Bless them. What can you do to encourage the abode of Christ in somebody else? You bless them. You tell somebody you love them. You hug your children. You call those that don't have anybody else. You visit the hospital beds of those that are ill. You reach out and take a leap of faith and a chance that it may be the last time that anybody ever gets to hear the Word of God. Don't let being in the crowd keep you from moving when God says, come down. If I had stayed in the tree, I'm fully persuaded I wouldn't be a minister. Had I stayed in the tree, I'm fully persuaded that that which I can play in music would not be anointed by God. I'm fully persuaded that everything I would have tried to have done in my career would have failed me. I would have paid the bills, but I wouldn't have ever been happy at what it is that I am to do. When you come down out of your troubles and let God bless you, you will walk into a peace. And Jesus spoke to the persecution. He talked about down days. Even though you can't do a search on your Bible app to hear down days, as I would call it, he talked about times when we would be down. And he said, though you may be persecuted, remember that I was persecuted first. He took the walk of suffering and bore all of it, even when he was weak. He prayed in the garden and said, Father, if it be thy will, would you let this pass from me? He was weak just like each and every one of us. But then when he came to himself and knew the power of God, he said, nonetheless, not my will, but let thy will be done. Jesus came down from the tree that day in the garden and continued on and was blessed in what he did. And those to which he sacrificed for, he blessed them in kind. I'm glad to know one thing, that no matter where we are, Jesus still sees us.